Thanks for rolling with us today. Cowboys roll 31-6. They are 3-0, and things get a whole heck of a lot more real starting Sunday night. You can hear the Cowboys take on the Saints right here on 105.3 The Fan. But let's enjoy the best moments of yesterday's game and the way that we know how to do better than any other. It is time for this.
Hopefully, I get an opportunity to go lots of ham.
That hit a giant.
No.
I don't know what the hell they're doing here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Touchdown, Michael Irvin.
Prepare yourselves.
Move over, sweetness. Make a place for Emmett.
For Sham goes ham.
To the 10, 5, walk the dog. Touchdown, Barry.
And I'll be doing the Miller Lite Cowboy Hour tonight with Brad Sham. That's at the Star in Frisco, right outside the Ford Center, right outside Neighborhood Services.
Yeah.
Tonight's guests are Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins.
Nice.
So that'll air at 7, but it's at 6 live, but it'll air here on the Fan at 7.
Got to get Tyron talking about video games.
Okay, get him on the gaming thing.
Get him on gaming. That's what he loves to talk about.
I'm going to talk fishing with some of these guys, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of good stuff. And, you know, Tyron, he's just a chatterbox. So
he won't stop talking.
It'll be good. Taylor Stern, obviously, on that panel as well. Let's start with the big hit on Allen Hurns. Jeff Heath flying towards the ball, helmet to helmet on Allen Hurns.
Play fake, and Rosen throws it down the middle of the field. And a tremendous hit by Jeff Heath on Allen Hurns separates Hurns from the ball, and Hurns is laid out. Allen Hurns, Heath's former teammate, is on his back and still down.
We used to have a clip of somebody releasing a bird at a wedding. Was it an owl?
It was an owl.
Yeah.
And they let this owl fly, and the owl flies towards what it thinks is a opening to fly away, but it's like a clear plastic wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes, wham! And everyone goes, oh! That's exactly what this reminded me
of. Can you play that hit again just so you can hear it? Did you
play fake, and Rosen throws it down the middle of the field, and a tremendous hit by...
Sounds like a click of some kind.
So bad.
So bad. But again, I think Heath was just playing the ball, thought he had an interception. I think it was an accidental collision. I think there's no way in hell it was a dirty hit. I think those guys are friends, and I think even Hurns would agree, and Mrs. Hurns agree that it was not a vicious hit or dirty hit, and I don't think there will be a fine or anything from it because it was just an accident.
Yeah, and no flag either, which kind of just tells you, like, okay, the refs saw that he was playing the ball, you know, and it's... that's football, man. Now we have first quarter. The Cowboys are up 3-0, and it's 3rd and 20. And Dak is rolling out, and he hits Jason Witten.
Snap is back on 3rd and 20. He's got all day now. He rolls right, pumps, looks like he's going to keep. Throws on the run down the sideline. It's caught down to the 15-yard line by Jason Witten.
All right, did you guys happen to see what Jerry said about Witten after the game?
No.
He said that Witten is making plays that he wasn't making before. It must be, and I'm paraphrasing, but it must be plays that he saw last year watching Monday Night Football.
Huh.
And then they asked Witten about it. He said, I loved it. I think that's a really great description. He talked about how interesting Jerry is, the way he describes things. But I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know that there was a three-game stretch the last year that Witten played where he was as productive in terms of the timing of the plays, the types of the plays. His three-game stretch, everything he's been involved in, have been really monumental, momentum-creating plays. He's been a big part of this thing.
I don't know why there's been so many people down on Witten. I don't get it. You know, if this offense was broken, this offense was being suffocated by Linehan, now everybody should be eating better. Everybody should be doing better. And he's showing that. And it's like if things are going to get real predictable, it's probably going to affect him the most because he's not some speed burner. He's not going to get major separation. But he still was coming through making plays. But people were mad that he would just catch it and get tackled. I don't know what else you're supposed to do when everyone in the world knows what you're running.
It was a great on-the-fly move by him to go downfield. Mm-hmm. And if you watch that slowly, watch Dak. And I swear I'm not being a Dak butt kisser right now.
You
but
are,
if you really watch
okay.
that play... You get little Russell Wilson type vibes because he knew exactly where the line of scrimmage was, and he takes two steps horizontal and almost backwards to make sure that he wasn't going to go over the line because he got real close to crossing the line of scrimmage, and he just was able to arc his body just a little bit backwards and horizontal to keep himself from going over the line of scrimmage. I thought it was just a great play.
I'm sorry. I have the exact quote here now. Jerry Jones on Jason Witten's play that we're talking about here. He's making plays he wasn't making 15 years ago. He must have watched that on Monday Night Football. And then Witten said, he's got the charisma of 1,000 Brad Pitts. I mean, what a line by Jerry to say that.
1,000 Brad Pitts.
Witten also said, to your point, KT, I saw Dak scramble. And if you know the play, if you've played with him long enough, you know you're never out of the play. He extends plays as well as anybody in this league.
That set up a 2nd and 5 inside the Dolphins' 10-yard line.
Bunch right with 3. One receiver split left. There goes Elliott in motion wide right. Prescott looks left. Throws to the goal line. The ball is caught. Walking in for a touchdown, Amari Cooper. There's a flag in the secondary.
Yeah, if you don't get a jam on that bunch play, you're screwed. I mean, they bunched it up, had motion with Zeke. It was confusing, and it turned out to be an easy touchdown. Stuff like that was so hard last year, and it was so easy right then.
I like easy touchdowns, guys. They make my life better.
Now, it was 10-3. Cowboys have the ball, kind of playing with their food a little bit, and then this happened.
Snap to Prescott. Play fake to Elliott. Back to throw with all day. Seriously. Well, let's see. Let me count my money. Let me throw down the field. And it's intercepted at the 30-yard line to the 40. Returned by Bobby McCain, the safety.
Again, that didn't bother me. You know, it's like, to me, it's like he's no longer under the microscope. You know, he is what he is. He's pretty freaking fantastic. I'm sold. And on that play, I really felt like he was just toying with them. Like it was just somebody out on a sandlot, on a playground, and just balling out of control. And he called it after the game. Dak said he got a little too greedy.
Seriously?
I mean, I don't think they ever took the Dolphins seriously at all. And so that was really a function of that, I think.
I do like that they turned it around in the second half, though, and just systematically destroyed him. The Dolphins may have had all of their best shots fired and had nothing left anyways, and it was inevitable, but it was great.
All that being said, 10-6, Cowboys lead. Final possession of the half for the Dolphins, and they are inside the Cowboys' 10, knocking on heaven's doorstep.
First and goal at the 7, 31 seconds left in the half. Miami looking for the lead. Rosen hands it off inside. Fumble down around the 7-yard line. Who's got that football?
They're signaling the Cowboys.
Cowboys got a fumble at the 7-yard line. How about that?
How about that? That's because, you know what? They don't get a whole lot of turnovers. Doesn't happen that often. And it happened, at a very opportune time. You knew the Dolphins were done then.
Again, last night, I had a little talk with John Machota of The Athletic.
Oh, crap.
He goes, when they handed it off right there to Drake, I thought, oh, crap, because he made a really good move. And then he said it was lucky. And I was looking at it, kind of watched the play again. I said, yeah, I guess that was kind of a lucky turnover because Kenyon Drake juked Jalen pretty good, and he just was able to make contact and knock it out, and Tank fell on it.
Strong play, though. Takes a big, giant, strong paw to knock that thing loose in the first place.
I wonder if Garrett would have chewed on him a little bit if they were losing going into the half. I wonder. You know, Travis said that didn't really have time, didn't need rah-rah motivation. They knew where they were, but, you know, they were also still winning. I don't know if that would have changed things. Then we go to the third quarter, and the Cowboys were pretty good moving the ball down the field in that first drive as they end up going 5 plays, 75 yards, and capping it with this.
Second down, they gave Elliott 2 yards at 2nd down 8. At the Miami 19, in the gun, Elliott goes out in the pattern to the right, and he throws it down to the goal line. A perfect strike to Amari Cooper. Touchdown, Cooper.
So easy. So easy. You know, and that was after the big Cobb play that was brought back as the Connor Williams hold.
75-yard touchdown or whatever.
Yeah.
That's incredible when you have a big play like that, called back touchdown, you go ahead and just score 3 or 4 plays later anyway, same distance of a drive.
It just, again, it's like it's pickup basketball when you have no chance of losing. You're playing a team that's, you know, half as good as you, and you know you're going to blow them out. It's just... they just looked like they were toying with the Dolphins. They were never scared, and they knew they could do whatever they wanted.
I'm going to take my next 2 or 3 shots left-handed. Just kind of have some fun.
Right.
Still, though, it was just 17-6, so still a game. I thought this was one of the more important plays of yesterday's game. It's 17-6, just scored. Dolphins get the ball back, and it's 3rd and 12.
Rosen in the gun. They blitz from behind, and they're going to sack him back at the 26-yard line, and it's going to be Robert Quinn.
third and 12, got him the ball back. And it just, that's when, to me, I mean, the Cowboys had the momentum after that touchdown, but that sack to just end that drive and then get the ball back just said, okay, now it's on. Now we're in gear. I thought that was huge. And then Robert Quinn, you know, everyone talked about his age, oh, he's kind of old. Man, he's a speed rusher.
Yeah.
You know?
He's got a burst.
Got a
Dude,
little burst.
He's a dog, too. I love his mentality. He was like, hey, you're going to be suspended for 2 games. No problem. I'll be ready when I come back. Hey, you broke your hand. You're going to be out a little bit. No problem. I'll be ready when I come back. I thought was it the out of bounds tackle that he had?
Late hit?
Well, they didn't call it though.
I don't know. If I when he hit this. Rosen?
Yeah, he crushed Rosen right on the sideline, and I was like, yes, I love it, dude. He was right on the edge.
It was close.
It was close to being a call, but I just love that mentality. There he is running all the way to the sideline and killing a quarterback right as he goes out of bounds. I like him a lot. Unfortunately, I think it's just going to be this year, but there's a lot to like about him.
So it's 17-6. You're getting the ball back now, and then they kind of sprinkle in a little bit of Zeke. Sprinkle in a little bit of Pollard. Maybe throw it to Zeke. Throw it to Witten. Get a little Pollard back involved, and it's first and goal on the 8-yard line.
First down and goal at the 8. Play fake, boot to the right. He's got Witten. He keeps it. Prescott walks the dog. Touchdown.
We talked about that a little bit earlier, but it's so easy to set that up when you have Zeke taking that ball and going left, going left, going left. Meantime, Witten's just rolling out there to the right in the flat. Safeties and linebackers have to pay attention to Zeke, and it just opens up. And once Dak sees it, you're going to keep it, and he's going to roll right in.
Defenses stiffen up when this happens, like plays like that. They just go, oh, okay, stop, I can't move, you know. You just got to watch and see what happens. So it's 24-6 now. Now, I did want to throw this in Sham Goes Ham today because I do think it's a very interesting play from the game. Taco had a sack yesterday, guys.
Snap is back. They rush four with a blitz. Little Zora, what great protection. Rolls to his right, can't find anybody, keeps around the corner, and is tackled back at the 16. That should be a sack.
Yeah, it's going to be a sack, and Dak should have just thrown this ball away at the end of this thing. Don't take the sack. Your offensive linemen don't like that, I guarantee you.
And guess who got the sack?
Who?
Taco Charlton.
Oh, my goodness.
Such a garbage sack to get. And,
I know, man.
You know, it was 18 seconds into the play, and I heard a clip of Dak talking about this morning on the morning show with Sean and RJ, and the quote, I guess, after the game was, they were like, hey, what do you think about Taco getting a sack or whatever? He's like, well, really, I mean, come on. Oh, okay, we do have it. Here it is.
Taco got credit for a sack on you. Did you have a chance to talk to him after the game?
Yeah. I mean, I told Taco, obviously, good luck. Yeah, good luck on everything. I meant to tell him congrats on that sack or anything. I mean, that was whatever. I could have thrown it away, but he got that. He can have that one.
Why did you throw it away?
Completion percentage.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer.
Thank y'all.
Oh, he dropped the mic and then
Ender.
Thanked everybody?
Yeah. Ender.
That was great.
Thanks for coming out, everybody.
31-6, and the overlapping was real. That was very much like the Zeke overlapping that was happening when Jerry said Zeke. The overlapping was real.
It was a fun moment,
Kevin. It was a fun moment. It was a fun win. And this is the final touchdown for the Cowboys yesterday. The first rushing touchdown of the career of Tony Pollard.
I don't know why there's even any receivers in the game. Hand off to Pollard. Coming left. Breaks a tackle. 10-5. Tony Pollard. First NFL touchdown.
It was great. And the burst that he showed once he got past the line of scrimmage, that guy can fly.
It was good to see him weave in and out of traffic yesterday
and
get those touches because you start to think about what they have on offense. They have
all
kinds of things they can do with two running backs that they just haven't shown yet. They're going to show some of that, especially if they're going to go wide receiver the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I bet we see a lot of Zeke and Tony Pollard in the game at the same time.
I love it. But two running backs, both went for 100 yards. You've got two tight ends. You've got multiple receivers. Even when your number two receiver is out, your quarterback can throw. He can run.
Mm-hmm.
They are incredibly versatile. And if you're, you know, if you're the Saints now and you're prepping for this, you know, to play the Cowboys, you're like, what are we supposed to do here? I mean, what you're going to have to pick something to try to take it away, and then they're going to figure out how to beat you another way.
You know what I'm down for? Sign me up for 22 personnel.
Two tight ends, two running backs?
Sign me up for that, bro.
Quarterback, one wide receiver?
We had last week when KT was hosting the happy hour, Charles Haley was talking about two tight ends. I think that the degree of panic that would ensue if you start that play with two tight ends and two backs in the backfield I think that's awesome.
I love it.
I really, really like that.
By the way, the Saints haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher since week 11 of 2017.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, great job, Tizzles. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. The G-Bag Nation will be coming up at 2 o'clock. We're going to get you there, though, and we're going to do it by getting through the remainder of the NFL games. We recapped some of them earlier in Part 1. This will be around the NFL Part 2, and let's dive right in with the Houston Texans taking care of the Los Angeles Chargers. The final score of that game, 27-20. And one particular note that stood out to me is that J.J. Watt is back. He had just two total tackles through the first two games. However, he was all over Rivers on Sunday. He had two sacks, five quarterback hits, two tackles for losses among his five tackles.
All right, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know that he had, you know, minimal numbers in the first couple weeks, but we know he is a monster. And hindsight's 20/20, but man, it looks like Houston made the right moves at the right time. They're in a really, really good position. Now, I think there's still a pretty reasonable gap between them and KC and New England, but I don't know that I think that there's that reasonable a gap. I think they're on the same level as Baltimore, who most people would probably think is the third best team in the AFC.
How about on the same level as the Chargers, who they beat yesterday?
You look at the Chargers and go, man, this may not be a very good year for them. They're fiddle farting around.
They've had tough schedule, things like that, but yeah, they had plenty of chances to go win that game. Keenan Allen was great yesterday, but Rivers makes some questionable throws sometimes. I mean, he looks like a 40-year-old throwing the football, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's just sometimes you go, man, just a little more oomph on that throw. Maybe wouldn't have left some yards on the field. Deshaun Watson was great yesterday. He was fascinating. So, yeah, big win for the Texans. They're fun.
By the way, the Chargers in second halves this year, they're getting outscored 45-10.
Wow. That's brutal.
Not good.
Now, they also have the benefit, though, of a reasonably weak division. So, long way to go in this thing.
All right, next game, Minnesota Vikings 34, Oakland Raiders 14.
So Minnesota's real. Minnesota's an offensive show.
Dalvin Cook, dude.
He's a beast. Obviously, they got good receivers. We've talked about this. You'd hate to have to rely on Kirk Cousins late in the game because he will short circuit. But that's a really good offensive team. They can get the ball up and down the field. Zimmer teams usually are pretty stout defensively. I don't know. I mean, Oakland probably sucks anyway.
Oakland's horrible.
Yeah.
Oakland's horrible, so it's hard to take a lot from that game. You know, the Vikings need to go. I kind of treat the Vikings kind of like Michigan in college, or maybe even Texas A&M for that matter.
I wouldn't do that anymore.
Or Texas A&M for that matter. Yeah. Go beat some big teams and, you know, kind of prove it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, dude, if they're running the ball, the play-action game's working, their front seven on defense is stout. Yeah, Vikings, I picked them to win the North, and I'm sticking with it.
Dalvin Cook is averaging 6.5 yards per carry.
Sweet Lord.
And a lot of people are saying it's probably why KT lost yesterday in the 105.3 The Fan Fantasy League.
Don't worry, KT. He'll be injured in 2 weeks.
I think that's fair. We already talked about the Lions beating the Eagles. Anything else we need to add to that?
That the Eagles farted around and got beat, and the Lions may be better than people think.
We mentioned this earlier. You should be very aware of this. Four of the Eagles' next five games are on the road, including this Thursday at Green Bay on a short week, and then one of those games is coming here.
I do want to add that. I do want to add something, Ben. So if we're going to call out those games, that's fine. I want to call out their final five games.
Okay.
They get the Dolphins, they get two against the Giants, the Redskins, and the Cowboys.
Okay.
So they got a chance to end the year 4-1, 5-0. So
they do. But if you're buried before then, a lot of times it's hard to win those games.
That's why I think yesterday's loss is huge. That's one they thought they were going to win.
Yep. Did they really think they were going to start the year 1-2 with the Lions and the Falcons on their schedule?
See, that's the thing. The Falcons suck now. That came out of nowhere.
That did come out of nowhere. You're right. I mean, I don't believe it, but the Lions might be better than people were giving them credit for. Their record certainly indicates that.
Yeah, they're going to prove it first.
Good win against the Chargers.
Colts 27, Falcons 24. Jacoby Brissett was incredible. He completed his first 16 passes of the game. He finishes 28 for 37, 310 yards, completing passes to 9 different players.
So that's the Texans' threat in that division, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Colts have the best roster up and down in that division.
It's just their quarterback was kind of a question mark.
And he's been good.
He's been really good. God, they signed him to 2 at 30. 15 a year.
Yeah, smart.
Really good deal.
Get ahead of it, yeah.
Next game, Carolina Panthers, 38. Arizona Cardinals, 20. It was Kyle Allen versus Kyler Murray, the old A&M connection, which lots of A&M connections in this thing. But, dude, Kyle Allen has more touchdowns in one game than Cam Newton has had in his last four regular season starts.
All right, I had afternoon stuff going on and did not get to see any of this game. Obviously, Kyle Allen's numbers look good, and I saw a lot of Twitter reaction. Did he look great slinging it around, or was it
Well, the Cardinals suck, so let's get to that. He was, I think workmanlike's a way to do it. They controlled the ball most of the game. McCaffrey busted out a 76-yarder that really kind of set the tone. It was just pretty close for a little bit. And then at the end, once the Cardinals got down a little bit, Kyler was starting to do scramble out of the pocket and throw it up in the air type stuff, like on the TV right behind you. There's a little Kyle Allen action. You know what? He's fine. I want to give our program director, Gavin Spittle, a little credit. At the RJ Choppy birthday party Saturday night, he goes, I watched preseason. He goes, Kyle Allen's got a little something. I said, all right. I said, I don't think so, but all right. And then he proved me wrong. So
you defied our boss openly at a party?
Yeah.
Yep.
Kyler Murray sacked 8 times in this game. Is that correct? Did you guys see that?
8 times. Good. 8 sacks.
God.
The Cardinals can't protect. It's just bad. It's going to be bad, and it's going to be rough.
There was just hope because of the way that they had performed in the first 2 weeks.
When they tied the Lions?
I know, but they came from behind late in the game to tie the Lions, and then, of course, they came back in the other game. They just didn't get it done at the end, but that sounds like a total thrashing.
Yeah.
All right, next game, San Francisco 49ers 24, Pittsburgh Steelers 20. This was pretty interesting. The 49ers are now undefeated at 3-0, even though they had 5 turnovers. 5 turnovers in this game, and they still got the win.
Okay, so one, we know the Steelers suck. And really, just a great job giving away their future top 5 pick for maybe a slot guy, maybe a safety. We'll figure that out later.
When you're a team like that and refuses to accept the fact that you're in a rebuilding year,
yeah,
you deserve what you get.
You deserve what you get. 5 turnovers, and they couldn't get it done. So when you line it up, when you go, all right, we got a league right now where the Bills and the Niners are 3-0. Just kind of reinforces the idea that this is the year to go win.
Yeah.
This is the year to go win. Cowboys are in great shape.
I can't figure out how seriously to take the 49ers. Because there's a lot of me that says, nah, they're not there yet. So, I don't know. I mean, you can go beat Mason Rudolph.
It all has to do with Garoppolo and that porn star. Ever since that thing happened, he was on that date with the porn star. You've been out on them.
No, it's not just any porn star, though. He never could get past the size of the porn star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never could just really work around
the jugs machine.
It was just
what a big lady.
It's just such a weird choice. If you're Jimmy Garoppolo and you're one of the better looking guys in the NFL and you're going to take a porn star out to dinner, he chose that one.
I thought she's a beautiful woman.
I did too.
I'm just saying.
On the inside.
She wouldn't have made my top 100 rankings.
Have you seen her in evening wear?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen her in top 100 porn stars?
Yeah.
What's evening wear?
I don't know.
Yeah. It could be anything. It's like, yeah, go ahead. Windsuit pants?
My wife's been wearing the same pajamas for 19 years.
Evening wear.
I'm naked.
Usually the evening wear portion of the porn star competition is because we all know what they're going to do for the talent competition, right? That's not really where they...
Sir.
What?
Sir.
A lot of them are musicians.
We do know what they're going to do in the talent portion.
You know, I don't...
And a lot of them like to cook.
Ben, talk football.
Yeah. Next game, Buffalo Bills 21.
We'll have fun off the air.
Cincinnati Bengals 17.
Man, I hate that I didn't get to see every snap of this game. But the Bills are 3-0, and that's all that matters, right?
Bengals are 0-3.
Shout out to our buddy Jesse from the Jimmy Kimmel Show, who was so down on the Bills coming into the year. And they're 3-0, and they got the Patriots next week. Woo!
How'd Cole Beasley do?
Doesn't matter. He's undefeated, Ben. Yeah. And Jordan Lewis can't. Jordan Lewis needs to tweet him, hey, doesn't matter, bro. You are 3-0.
Let's pull up the Cole Beasley game log just to be
Cole
sure.
Cole Beasley.
Oh, yeah. Good. 8 for 48 yesterday.
Nice.
Wow.
That's the way, dude. That's what 6 yards a pop. That's how he's going to be used because he has that quarterback that's like needs to get rid of the ball. That's the way he's going to be used.
They've got that quarterback.
You know, Josh Allen's going to take 1 second and get rid of it as quick as he can. You know that.
How different is that guy than the other quarterbacks?
Sid, hut.
I think they're all trying to get rid of the ball pretty quick.
Your boy Dax willing to throw it down the field. Yeah, there's some guys throwing it down the field.
He's got 4 minutes when he drops back.
Mahomie is throwing it down the field.
Bengals 0-3. Should they embrace the tank as well? Andy Dalton's getting older.
Yeah, I don't even
know.
Just
go ahead and do it.
What is?
You might as well.
What is their backup quarterback situation?
Oh, they had Driscoll.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
No, they got Ryan Finley. It's Ryan Finley from NC State.
Yeah, I say mail it in.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this thing up and ship it home.
All right, next game, Packers 27, Broncos 16.
So the Packers spent about $120 million on Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. And they've already made Za'Darius Smith team captain, and these guys do their post-game media together. And Preston Smith had 3 sacks yesterday. Za'Darius Smith had 2 sacks yesterday. Packers offense, though, it's kind of a mess. I mean, it's like, it's good when it's scripted the first 15 plays or whatever, and then when it's time to go make adjustments, the offense sucks.
Well, why couldn't Aaron Rodgers just make those adjustments? We always talk about that. If you have a veteran quarterback, he's going to make the right decision. What's going on there?
So I know everyone's a little curious about the Packers because the Cowboys played them in 2 weeks. And if there was a game where you wanted to, the Cowboys to revert to their old ways, it's against Green Bay. Green Bay cannot stop the run. They will put pressure on the quarterback. They will cover, but they cannot stop the run. It won't happen. So Zeke and Pollard are going to eat in 2 weeks.
By the way, the Bradley Chubb-Von Miller combo, a lot of people consider them the league's best defensive tandem. Neither has a sack through 3 games. No one along the Broncos' defensive line has brought a quarterback down thus far.
You are kidding.
Nope. No sacks, no takeaways, no wins, and their head coach that John Elway chose was defensive guru Vic Fangio.
Wow. Oh, my God. Vic Fangio is about 100 years old, too.
Yeah.
It's not even going with a bright young mind. It's just an old guy that never could get a gig.
Vic Fangio having the time of his life.
Broncos 0-3. Should they go ahead and embrace the tank?
Everyone who's 0-3 should embrace the tank.
There's like 3 teams right now scrambling to get a hold of Paxton Lynch to play out the rest of the season.
This game is of particular import to Cowboy fans. It is Saints 33, Seahawks 27. And again, it really comes down to it doesn't matter if you don't have Breeze, if you've got Alvin Kamara. He was sensational. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he had like 70 yards rushing and 92 yards receiving or something like that. Here's his official numbers. 16 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. That's nice. On the ground. Receiving, 9 receptions, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Dude is unfrickin' stoppable. Doesn't matter who's throwing him the rock.
And a short sample size of just sticking my head in and out while doing other things. Clowney was making a lot of plays, man.
That makes sense. That'd be a good fit for him.
He'd make a lot of plays.
My favorite story of this game was that there was a couple Saints linebackers, Craig Robertson and Demario Davis.
One of those guys was in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, absolutely, in the office and all that stuff. Now, they sent a text message, or a group message to Drew Brees on Saturday night and said, "Hey, Drew, we're thinking about speaking to the team before the game. You know, what do you think?" And Drew responded with, quote, "Get him hyped." That's all he said, was get him hyped.
Well, he had to use voice because he can't type because his thumb's all jacked up with that ligament surgery.
Yeah, that's true.
So, come on, Siri, KT, the battery was low. Yeah.
So they go out before the game, and here's what Demario Davis get. He's got them all, and they're all in the circle, and they're all, they're jumping, juices flowing.
Farting.
One guy's eating a pickle, and they're all jumping around. And Demario goes, "We'll see your opponent today. Look him in his eyes and take his soul." That's what they went with. And that's what they did. They took the Seahawks' soul yesterday.
Was that an audio clip of the thing?
No.
That was you.
Do you worry about the guy who goes around too much talking about taking souls?
I do. It's very, it's that. Would you rather have that or Jameis?
I don't want that.
I don't want to watch you do that.
That's gross.
Yeah, whatever you're hearing on the air is really happening, everybody.
EW.
Yeah, it's amazing you can fit your whole fist in there.
Alvin Kamara said he thought that Drew would have been impressed with the whole pregame thing.
That's usually part of the talent portion, Ben.
Right. I don't know if you have a tiny fist or a giant mouth, but I'm impressed.
I think it's both.
Well, not even mad. A little bit of both. And it's crazy because my left hand is so much bigger than my right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a birth defect or what?
That hand's a little stranger. All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Shout out Intercom.
We all love football around here. All right, coming up next, let's see what the G-Bag... Is the G-Bag Nation here today, or are they out?
Have you seen a member of them
they
yet?
I haven't.
Yeah, they're not here.
I saw Lucius.
Yeah, well, Lucius is here, of course.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Bassick and the gang right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Kevin. We're going to find out what the G-Bag Nation is doing today and where they are here in a few minutes. Couple things to get into beforehand. The Monday night game, the Washington Redskins
versus the Chicago Bears, and it's the unique NFC game where one of our divisional opponents is playing in it, and I'm actually polling for a divisional opponent. I would love to see the inept Washington Redskins pop the Chicago Bear balloon really big time, off to a slow start. A lot of people had them ranked higher than the Cowboys going into the season in terms of NFC power rankings and all that kind of business. I'd love to see the Bears really choke on it. Their offense early on is struggling.
You hate to pull for anyone else's downfalls, but it would be kind of great if Trubisky's nothing and the Bears waste this good window of having an elite defense, Khalil Mack, if they waste that because they didn't get the quarterback right. And I think the jury's still out on Trubisky. I personally think he'll be fine. Mm-hmm. They gotta help him out, man. He gets hit pretty quickly, and his guys don't get open very often. And Allen Robinson's kind of their number one wide receiver, and he's a good player, but he's not like a get separation guy.
That makes it
hard.
So
all these easy throws they had over the last couple years, or really last year in the first year of the Matt Nagy offense, he hadn't had those easy throws this year. So, yeah, look forward to tonight's game. But I do think the Bears will probably get them.
It's so early. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anybody would freak out over Trubisky just yet. I mean, it's so freaking early. People are in such a hurry to, be heard and levy their opinion. Oh, my God, I got to be the first to say this guy's a complete bust. I'm like, good God, give it a minute.
I'm freaked out by how much he looks just like Tony Romo.
Hey, you watch your
in
mouth.
The face?
Yeah.
Is this?
Have you never seen that?
I don't know. Pull it up. Is Romo's old roommate still running things for the Bears or in their front office?
Absolutely. He's their GM.
Okay, and that's why he drafted him, because he looked like his college roommate?
Maybe. And, Trubisky's from that kind of area of the world. I mean, it's Ohio, but Tony's
Big Ten country there.
North Illinois, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't this look like just like Tony?
Kinda? Live coverage of me looking at a computer screen.
Yeah, you look first. And then
Not at all.
Yeah, I know when Tony's making that face. Sees this.
Looks a little bit like Romo, but not enough to say that look.
He looks more like Romo than he does Mark Rippon.
In the
I'll
heat
give
of
you
the
that.
Game, he looks like Tony.
What?
With the helmet on, he looks like Tony.
What? I don't know what that means.
877-881-1053, AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. Help me out. Does Mitch Trubisky look like Tony Romo?
Definitely.
And you don't even text in about that terrible opinion. You can text in about anything you want. 877-881-1053. That is the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. Did you guys see or hear any of the Jason Garrett celebration drink talk yesterday?
No.
All right. This is from the Twitter account of John Mashorda.
Crap. Gotta go take a nap.
Basically, Jason Garrett gathers players in the locker room after the win, and a player yells, "It's only 3:15. And then another player said, "Lemonades."
Okay, I did hear that.
And then Garrett said, "A lot of time for lemonades, boys." And then in the press conference, Garrett said, "We'll have a couple lemonades this afternoon and then get back to work tomorrow."
What is that from? Now, he said lemonades before, right?
Ooh, I don't know. Is it a Beyonce reference?
No, I think that's what he says when you're going to have cocktails. Somebody will say, "We're going to have a few pops."
Right.
Which means I'm really going to have a few beers.
Yep.
But I think he says lemonades when he means, that's wink, wink, lemonades.
Some seltzers.
Yeah.
Maybe a little White Claw action.
It could be a shout out to the great episode of Itchy and Scratchy where they go, "Lemonade?"
Yeah, I kind of love that. Yeah,
it's so great.
Help me out on the reference.
It's a Simpsons episode.
One. Okay.
So they had a show on there called Itchy and Scratchy that was just like Tom and Jerry, where basically a cat and mouse just kill each other over and over. And it's the most violent
Pretty
stuff
good.
You've ever seen. The kids are just sitting there watching all this violence.
Am I missing out on The Simpsons?
Go back and watch the first 15 seasons.
Yeah, go watch the first 15 seasons tonight.
Homer was the Homer Simpson was the host of the Emmys last night, and then he got hit by a piano.
Wait, by the way, hold on. I did not even realize the Emmys were on, and then I saw you tweeting about it, and I have no idea what Fleabag is. What is Fleabag?
Fleabag's a show on Amazon Prime about a sex addict.
Are you familiar, Benny?
No, is it good?
I heard season one was really good, and season two it drops off. But
what were the big winners last night?
Fleabag, and then Game of Thrones won. Ugh.
Yeah,
I mean, Game of Thrones was awesome, but the last season of Game of Thrones it should not have been rewarded.
It was kind of like DeMarcus Ware's last year as a Bronco. I was like, hey, man, it's been incredible.
Old girl from Ozark won. Best supporting actress.
Ruth
She's great.
Best supporting, from Ozark, and Ozark season 3 is coming out in the near future.
Are you guys excited that Jack Ryan's coming back?
It's okay.
Because I enjoyed that quite a bit.
It's no Yellowstone, but it's all right.
The Yellowstone's about Yogi and... What is Yellowstone?
Yellowstone is Kevin Costner, and it's kind of like the Sopranos of the mountain cattle folk.
I'm into that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
Bill Hader won Best Actor in a Comedy.
Hell yes, as he should have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what the other big...
Sopranos?
Big winner was. Yeah, it was a lot of Game of Thrones celebration and things like that, which, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, it was okay.
Let short dude win anything?
It was just the weird thing of not having a host.
He did? The short guy won?
Yeah, he won something.
Did he?
Tyrion Lannister?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he won something. I saw him giving a speech.
I was very on and off with how I watched it. But there's a great bit where Colbert and Kimmel went out and did a whole comedy bit about, good choice, not having a host. Yeah. And he goes, the presenters, you guys are next. Because they're like acting like they were butthurt that they weren't asked to host it. Because they were doing the whole thing mm-hmm. with no host. So
they also had something happening where somebody was on social media or off camera talking.
Yeah, it was Reno 911, and what was that guy's name?
I couldn't tell.
Lemon's his name.
Yeah, Lemonades.
Tommy Lennon.
It was almost like they were going to try to say, look, there's moments where there's a delay in the entertainment as you watch someone walk from their seat to the stage. During those times, we'll have people kind of reading their own tweets or wisecracking, kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like during the show, there's just people wisecracking on the microphone.
Okay.
And so some were hit, some were missed. It was okay. It was just unusual. And they were looking to push the ball forward and try to advance the program.
It's like an audio thought bubble.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I like that. Speaking of advance the program, now let's be joined by our friends, the G-Bag Nation, that are somewhere out there in the Metroplex. Gentlemen, do you have us?
Yes, we sure do. Great show today, gentlemen. I've thoroughly enjoyed this Cowboys Monday so far, and I can't wait to take the broadcast baton from you.
Outstanding. Where are you guys?
We're at Honda Cars and McKinney, by the way. That's where. Sorry about that. We're at Honda Cars and McKinney. That's where the party is. We have balloons because balloons make the atmosphere more fun. And
they're
cowboy colors. They are cowboy colors on a Cowboy Monday. So up here off of Central Expressway, Honda Cars and McKinney, where it is always a party. That's their new tagline.
Okay, well, I tell you what, guys. I'm very interested in this from you, Jeffrey. As I saw during the game, I always enjoy watching the Cowboys play and checking out the tweets as they roll by. What is your assessment of young Cheeto here in his third season so far? And a lot of people were dogpiling on him yesterday.
Good question.
I think I heard KT mention what I said to him yesterday. I do think there's an element of the Brandon Carr when he was a Cowboy to Cheeto's game where he can cover. He's covering really well, but he's just got a tendency to not finish the play when it's at the actual catch point. And I think the last PI that he got called for where he just turned totally the wrong way into a receiver and cut him off from trying to get to the ball, that was the one that worried me, because that one, it just looks like a lack of confidence, because that there's nothing about that that was the right thing to do. You're in a good position, get your head around and bat the ball down. But I think he'd been caught on and he'd had to get grabby and he'd been called for penalties and the jump ball. And I think at that point he was just kind of struggling with confidence. And that's the biggest worry for a corner, because the dude can cover. There's no doubt he can cover, but I get worried when the ball goes in the air his way because he's struggling to finish.
My thought is what makes him better than Jordan Lewis? I remember when they drafted Jordan Lewis because of the off-field situation, and they're like, this is a first-round pick. So we got to the third round, and we're like, look, he's still on the board, and he's a first-round guy on our board. I know Cheeto was a second-round guy and a high second-round grade for them, but why does Jordan Lewis lose time to him now?
Because Chris Richard exists, and Cheeto's 6 foot tall, give or take. I think that's the one thing that's dooming Jordan Lewis. I don't think it would. If you put Jordan Lewis in the game for anybody not named Byron, I think you would upgrade your defense a little bit. I just think that they think schematically that somehow would put them at a disadvantage because of what they want to do and ask their corners to do. He doesn't have long arms, and he's not 6 foot tall. So sorry about your luck, Jordan. You got to be good for somebody else.
You know, we asked Stephen Jones today about Byron Jones, and you know, just curious if contract talks have started yet. And he basically said, well, he hadn't come talk to us yet, but we like him. But they've been saying, hey, we're open for business. But we were having this conversation today about what type of money Anthony Brown may eventually get or what Cheeto could get. And I guess if you could have Byron, or you could have Cheeto and Anthony Brown, or maybe let's call it, if you could have Byron and Jordan Lewis for the same price, you could have Cheeto and Anthony Brown. I don't know if that's a fair comparison. Which two would you rather have?
You just put the best two in the same category. Right? So if it were me, I would take Byron and Jordan Lewis. I think they're the two best corners on the roster. That one's pretty. But I do think, I heard you guys talking about Anthony Brown, and I think it's really interesting because when you have all the really high-paid guys, when those big cap hits start to kick in, I think that's the middle class that you're going to lose that Gavin talks about a lot. Like Anthony Brown, even if it's at like $6 million, to KT's point, that's probably a value for any starting cornerback in the NFL. But the alternative is to keep searching for him in the draft and try to have that job done by a guy that makes less than $1 million. And I think the middle class is going to get cut out of this team over the next 2 years.
But if Byron gets 14, 15, I mean, Cheeto's probably going to get, what, 8? And we were talking about Brown at 6. I mean, of all those four, Jordan Lewis will get paid the least because he's had the least opportunities on the field, right?
Yeah, but hopefully, I mean, I would think that Jordan Lewis wouldn't want to be here when his contract's up because there's going to be NFL teams that know that he's a starter and they're going to pay him as such and he's going to go play there. So unless Chris Richard's not here anymore, I couldn't imagine that Jordan has a second contract here.
All right, gentlemen, what do you guys have coming up that needs to be timestamped?
Ooh, Pure Gold Skin, thank you so much for asking. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we're going to take our first look at the Saints, who got a surprise win. At 4:15, we have the Garrett Presser. And then at 5:20, I got to ask you, would I be a jerk if I bring up that maybe you could have buyer's remorse on not one, but two recently signed big deals?
Ooh.
Coming up in the G-Pack Nation.
Wow, that's going to be good.
Straight hating on a Monday.
My bad. Yep. 5:20, I'm going to pre-apologize.
I think I know what one of them is for sure, and I can't wait to hear it. That's coming up next on the G-Bag Nation. I want to say thanks to everyone who's been a part of this one, including KT and Shippy. I want to say thanks to Joan and Payroll, the Vielma brothers at the front desk, and Samir and the boys downstairs.
Oh, man. Those guys are always whipping up a fantastic Mexican feast every single Christmas time, Ben.
Coming up next, it's The Nation.